This episode of FilmSack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack and get a free audiobook today. And by U.S. Dish at usdish.com. Visit usdish.com/FilmSack and get a free $50 Visa gift card when signing up for a new service for FilmSack listeners. Free HD channels for life, free Showtime for 3 months, including the new Borgia series. That's usdish.com/FilmSack. Go there today.
That's a really big shoe. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Additional support for this episode comes from Roy Robinson and the Popcropolis podcast, where they talk movies, music, and TV. Find them on iTunes and popcropolis.net. This episode is for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. That's right, I said film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 71. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian Dogboy Dunaway.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land where whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, this crappy movie.
Nice. So no actual reference in the film. That is nothing. Awesome.
Crappy movie.
More and more, Brian's intros are my favorites. I'm not going to lie. I'm picking favorites.
Aww, those are favorites.
You're all are good, aww, but man, his are weird as hell, and I like them.
Yeah. Like, you need to be my favorite.
Also with us today, of course, Randy George Ramirez, number two, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, and Brian. Mm. You know, this week's film totally piqued my interest. It sneaked into my heart. It streaked all around. It wreaked havoc. It eked its way to 75 minutes, and now it shall be critiqued.
And never seen again, I hope.
Yes.
You might know where I stand on things by that statement. Brian Morgan Fairchild still got it, Ibbot.
You know, some movies have so much potential, and then they end up being really, really bad. Well, this movie has absolutely no potential at all.
I see. And
it actually ends up being, in a strange way, a very small, tiny bit watchable.
Oh, wow. Okay. Them's fighting words. Trust me.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's a stance I might have to defend, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how this all falls out. But we're talking about the film Freaked. A bit of a freak happening, actually. Nobody had heard of this film. It is all of our first viewings of said film.
There's actually no one living who's heard of this film, including the people who made it.
Except the person who wrote the Wikipedia, who says this is a cult classic. Yeah. Apparently a very small cult.
Yeah, maybe. Very small cult.
It's that cult that killed themselves when, you know, the Hale Bopp comet came by. That was the cult that thought this film was a classic.
I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the first film in FilmSack history since Retrograde where it, A, was a movie none of us had seen previously, and B, it's probably going to be considered utter poo by all four of us. But we'll find out shortly how we all feel about it. The movie is Freaked. Scott Fletcher, of course, once again, bellies up to the virtual bar and says this about it.
Freaked. Ricky Coogan, played by Alex Winter, is the spokesman for the EES Everything Except Shoes Corporation. Duh. The company sends him as an emissary to the South American jungle to curb the protests against EES's use of the toxin Zygrot 27. Once there, he becomes the captive of a deranged mutant-making madman, played by Randy Quaid.
Transformed into a freak by Zagra 27, Coogan leads a mutant revolt in this bizarre comedy, co-starring Michael Stoyanov and Megan Ward, with appearances by Brooke Shields, William Sadler, Deep Roy, Morgan Fairchild, Bobcat Goldthwait, Mr. T, and Keanu Reeves as Ortiz the Dog Boy.
Yes.
That last little bit sounded like he was narrating the beginning of A Love Boat.
I know.
Featuring exactly. Morgan Fairchild, Mr. T.
Well, those little ovals zoom in and out over people's faces.
And I think actually Keanu Reeves did play a dog boy named Ortiz on Love Boat. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, he was the bartender, right?
I got
that wrong.
Promise is something for everyone.
Oh, no. We've reminded Randy of a song. Run for cover.
Is Randy ever not drunk?
When we record? No.
Today we're drinking Marie's milkshakes. That's vanilla ice cream, Kahlua, and amaretto.
Oh, very nice. The cream of vanilla ice. I like that.
Fletcher sounded a little nasally there. Is he sick?
He is. He worked sick today, and I want to thank him publicly on the show for trooping through it. He also gave us quotes and everything for the end of the show. So, Scott Fletcher once again proving that sacrifice is never too great for this man.
And Scott Fletcher proving that even sick, he sounds better than on my best day.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Maybe even better sick.
Exactly.
You know?
I got this cool deep voice thing going on. Check it out.
Pretty rad. The rest of us get sick and we actually sound better. Fletcher just sounds... Fletcher becomes God at that point.
That's right.
He sounds like God before, but now he is him. So please be forgiveful. I hope he's not a vengeful God. But anyway, thank you, Fletcher, for sticking it out.
He's a good man.
You were going to say, Randy? I heard you saying something.
Oh, really? Yes, I was going to say, oh my God.
This film!
This film, you know what's sad is I want to compare it to any episode from the first couple of seasons of the A-Team, which is unfair because Mr. T comes barging into the film. I can't really, it's like too easy a comparison.
Yeah.
But it really does have the production values of a mid-80s adventure weekly, and it makes you wonder, like, how would a film be received if you just took an episode of the A-Team and sent it to the theaters?
Yep.
Anybody go watch that shit?
Yep.
To be honest, I felt a little bit film sack castrated on this one because, this was based on a variety show from MTV. And
it was
true. Yeah, it was true to itself. It was true to what it was, which was just... something that, you know, you've seen the Saturday Night Live movies that go full length. And unless you're a fanboy, it's kind of like your wife is going, what the hell is this crap?
Yeah. All right. Let me stop you right there, Brian.
I don't get it.
Second best Saturday Night Live spinoff. Obviously, Wayne's World was the best.
Yeah,
second best film to come from Saturday Night Live skit.
Coneheads.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers.
Coneheads. Also had Pinheads in this one. So
What'd you say? Which one?
The Blues Brothers.
Oh,
I'd actually put that above Wayne's World. For me.
I would too. That's actually. I don't even think of that movie as a SNL spinoff or a skit taken further. And I know it is. I understand that technically it is, but Blues Brothers, there's something else going on there. That's like a special case. Whereas Wayne's World, which I agree takes the number one or two spot. Those two can fight it out, but three goes to Coneheads, dude. Totally Coneheads. No,
I disagree with Blues Brothers. That is not as good a film as you think it is.
Well, we're talking about Blues Brothers 2000 with John.
When's the last time
we talked about that one?
Yeah, no doubt.
We had a driveway screening actually about 3 years ago. I had a projector. We put it out on the driveway.
Well, that's not fair. I mean,
why not?
Right? That makes any film. I know. doubles the goodness of any film right there.
All right, Team Gibbet.
It would not have helped Freaked.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed.
It would have doubled zero, which is, hold on, what's zero times two?
That's right.
I'm going with Team Gibbet here because I think Blues Brothers is probably the superior film, but I also think Wayne's World is amazing. But aside from that, let's just pretend for a minute that it's Blue Wayne is the name of the movie and they occupy the same space.
Yeah.
What is everyone's second favorite then? So I say Coneheads. What does everyone else say?
Can I just got to mess with it. I thought MacGruber got underrated.
Really?
Yes.
Did you see MacGruber?
It was good.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard just terrible, horrible from people I respect.
See, and people I heard from really liked it. So I've not seen it, so I can't speak to it. But
it's funny to mention that in this because it had Well, it's far better than Freaks, but still on that same kind of thing where, on the whole, you know, taken as a whole, as a full-length film, it was lacking. However, there were really good flashes of brilliance throughout the film.
You know what? This is going to be one of those shows, isn't it? It's going to be one of those episodes of the show where we talk about other movies more. And I don't have a problem with that, because that usually is a sign that the movie we saw was kind of shit.
It was, but I feel like I felt like I was constantly. It's hard for me to sack it, because I feel like there are jokes that I don't get, because it's like the part of the first opening scenes is they talk about the flying gimp being taken out or something, and I'm like, I understand what I can imagine in my mind what a flying gimp looks like, but it's a reference to the TV show, so I'm kind of like, I don't know how to judge that joke.
You mean this? Well, bit?
What's funny
this
is
bit
right I thought here? It was
the flying gimp has been destroyed.
I don't get it. Still.
Yeah.
Now, see, so, I mean, thought that was kind of funny. Until I found out it's a callback from the TV show.
Reason. Oh. Yeah, no, you thought for a
exactly.
different reason. Entirely,
I thought it was just a completely random kind of Zucker Brothers kind of like, the flying gimp has been destroyed. We now return. Yeah. It's like, all right, that's, you know.
I actually giggled about that. I did. But for the wrong reason. I just thought.
Right. Now, back to Saturday Night Films. I'm looking at a list on Wikipedia, and I'm realizing how few of the Saturday Night Films I've seen, because I stayed away from them. But isn't Office Space based on the Mike Judge comic that he did?
Office
it's not
Space,
listed here.
Well, it's not. It's because it's just based on a comic. It, you know, like the Saturday Night Live films are films that were produced by the people who produced Saturday Night Live. You know, Office Space is just this little thing that Saturday Night Live featured.
Yeah, because Mean Girls, for example, released in 2004, is listed as a SNL production. But I think this is just like a Lorne Michaels
Right. Joint. Mean Girls wasn't based on a skit from Saturday Night Live.
Right.
So that's the other way to go. You know, like,
well, if you count it, then I'd put Office Space as
definitely
number three spot.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But looking at this list is like, all right, I didn't see Pat, you know, It's Pat the Movie. I didn't see Stuart Saves His Family. Yeah. I didn't see Night at the Roxbury. I still haven't seen Blues Brothers 2000. I didn't see Superstar or The Ladies Man. So really it has to go to Coneheads, MacGruber, Wayne's World 2.
Because that's the only ones I know.
Yeah.
That's a short list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another little sort of pseudo spinoff is the movie A Mighty Wind, the Christopher Guest film.
Oh, really? Mighty Wind.
Yeah, because, you know, those three guys that make up his fake band, The Folksmen, were a Saturday Night Live skit, sort of.
Yeah, they were during the 80s. Well, when Guest was the anchorman for Weekend.
That's right.
Yeah. Whatever it was called. What
Weekend
was it called?
Update.
But, Weekend Update, yeah.
But
yeah.
that doesn't make A Mighty Wind a Saturday Night Live film, because it's Christopher Guest's film.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, a bunch of other stuff that has nothing to do with Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I thought The Ladies' Man, if you haven't seen it, actually has a pretty good heart to it.
You know, that's another really underrated film, but only underrated by, you know, so much, right? Like if on a 10 scale it's a 2, I'm saying no, it's a 4. Still stinks, but it's, you know, not as bad as you think it might be.
Yeah.
So Bob Roberts was a film based on a sketch.
I don't see that in the list here either. That's funny.
That's crazy.
Correct.
I had no idea. I just saw that recently. It's the Tim Robbins thing where he runs for president. Yep. He's the singer, folk singer guy. Yeah, it's like a fake documentary. I had no idea that was based on anything other than kind of a bad idea. Like I remember people saying how great that movie was, and oh, you got to see it. It's incredible. And I watched it finally, and this is in the last 2 or 3 months, it's on streaming. It's not very good. Like, it's kind of obnoxious and stupid and in your face and dumb and not what everyone in the 90s told me it was.
Yeah. Kind of like this movie.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, so let's get to the origin of this. I think, and Ibbett, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure we were on TMS one morning and somebody sent us a link and said, you guys should watch this. It's Bill from Bill and Ted's, because we were talking about Bill and Ted.
The reunion, or the new Bill and Ted movie that apparently has been greenlit.
Yeah, that's got writers and it's almost done and stuff. And we were talking about it, and somebody said, oh, you should watch this, and they posted this in the chat room. And on first glance, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Bill with a weird face. We're in. Mm-hmm. Wow. We really shouldn't make movie choices based on that. That should have been our warning.
You know what's funny? This is kind of my summary, but I didn't really hate this movie as much as others that we've seen. Like, it didn't engender this, I want that hour and a quarter of my life back, like other films that we've watched have done for
me. Like Troll 2 did for you, for example.
Right. Yeah, Troll. But I don't know. Maybe,
actually,
Maybe I need to see all films in the mood I was in watching this one or something. Yeah. I don't know.
That's a good point.
I feel like if I had been sitting in a room full of other fanboys who are appreciative of this movie, I feel like I could have went with it. I feel like it was like this culture that, you know, that they had kind of created with this show, and I just felt so outside of it.
I just felt like co-directors Tom Stern and Alex Winter put together a film that was supposed to be reminiscent of, say, something like Airplane.
Airplane, yeah.
At the same time, they were trying to channel the not quite dead corpse of Tim Burton and mm-hmm. make something in the middle there. And the only film I can compare it to or look back on and say, that's the same movie. Basically, from top to bottom, this is the same movie. And I'll go to my grave claiming this is true. That film is Nothing But Trouble. Dan Aykroyd wrote it, directed it.
Interesting. Yeah, so it funny is. That you bring that it one is. Up because I thought about that. Yeah, with Dan
Dark
Aykroyd
comedy.
Was the judge, right?
Yep. He had the penis nose.
Right.
Remember that? Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally like a little penis. That was the whole joke. And then Demi Moore was in it. Chevy Chase, John Candy, one of his last roles, sadly. Few others. Anyway, that movie still stands as my least favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Scott.
And
no.
That's my problem, is that I see this and I go, oh, overtones of that terrible thing. And I kind of never quite shook it. Like, it always sort of hung around. But Randy, you say no. Why do you say no?
Because there's worse. There's so many such worse films. Like, and I'm sure you've seen
watched
some
them.
Of them.
Surely we've seen them.
Like, I mean, it's fascinating to me how when you get down to the bottom, all of a sudden you can really differentiate. You know, like when you, on a 10 scale, when you get down to this is a 1 and everyone agrees it's a 1, now the difference is huge. Mm. You know, like you watch some of those Mystery Science Theater 3000 films like Manos, The Hands of Fate, and you're like, I can't believe that was made. I can't believe it was completed. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess Mystery Science Theater 3000 completed it. But, you know, like there's just such bad to be had. That anything that anyone actually got you to see, it can't be the worst you've ever seen. You
it's
know
the
mean?
Worst like, in this one way, whereas something like Troll 2 is such an earnest attempt and turns out so bad, and again creeps into that so bad it's good thing without sounding too cliche, because I hate that too.
But yeah.
that movie is a different kind of animal for me. This is more like Best Laid Plans. Just bad execution. Nothing. I didn't find anything really all that funny. There were a couple of moments, I suppose. But filling your show with Brooke Shields and Randy Quaid, who looked a lot like Dennis Quaid, by the way, in this one.
I heard that from my wife also. And actually, I didn't think that at all. I thought it looked like somebody had taken Elvis and Colonel Sanders.
I was thinking, Randy Quaid as Colonel Sanders, actually.
I forgot because he had the little beard.
He did.
Stupid
and
little
he was,
beard.
Yeah. He was really red and stuff.
But he's the Dan Aykroyd character from Nothing But Trouble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the crazy makeup and the weird happenings and the way the place is built and the freak show place and all that just mm-hmm. was just screamed about that or from that movie. So regardless of whether it's the worst thing I or anyone else has ever seen, these movies kind of share the same space for me. And I was really disappointed that was the case. I kind of wish it was a less of an Airplane attempt, because sorry, but nobody does that right anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
And even when they were doing it right, it was lightning in a bottle for Airplane and Airplane 2, arguably, and maybe Top Secret. But since then, nobody can do that right. And it's, I can't take their faces seriously. That dude, the dude from freaking Blossom, I can't take him seriously.
That was funny. And I love that he stole the hat from Blossom's set too, and brought it with him right there in the air.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But it was that time. This film was made around the same time, so you can't really say he stole it. That sort of wardrobe was in everything.
Yeah.
Everywhere you looked, someone was wearing plaid and a vest.
93, right? Am I right on the year?
Yeah, 93.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It was
for those of you seriously for those of you who weren't old enough to have noticed fashion in the early 90s. Plaid and a vest.
Yep.
It was crazy. And a little earlier in the 90s, bolo ties. I shit you not.
No,
bolo ties.
No doubt, dude. No doubt.
And stupid hats.
So Brooke Shields, William Sadler, okay, I'll say this about the movie. If you put William Sadler in her movie, you automatically bump up a few points in my book, because I love that guy.
I like William Sadler.
A lot. He, for those who are not in the know, in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, the sequel to Excellent Adventure, he played Death. He also was in Die Hard 2. He played the terrorist that took over the airport. And Shawshank Redemption. He's great in that. He's good in The Mist, which I still say is one of the best movies in 2009. Tales from the Crypt, yeah, a bunch of stuff. The guy's awesome. Green Mile, yep. He was in that. Does a lot of that Darabont stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's
one of those guys. As soon as you see his face, you know exactly who he is.
Yeah, he's fascinating. Yeah.
So if the name isn't ringing a bell, then definitely go check it out.
My favorites are the four Ramirez's. So this guy,
yeah,
that was really great. That kind of stuff. I could have gone for more bizarre surrealism like that. Like, I don't know why they did it. I don't know why that's funny, but it is somehow. If they could have tapped more of that, I'd have been really happy in that.
Yeah,
in that film.
And our buddy Deep Roy again making an appearance.
Deep Roy, baby,
in a film sack movie. Just still waiting to see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where you get 500 Deep Roys all over the place.
he's credited as George Ramirez three, which essentially is that phase of George Ramirez. But they also say
that was a pretty clever scene. I enjoyed that.
It was weird, and that whole thing just had a weirdness to it that I just really wish would have hung around.
Yeah, that reminded me of what came later on with Austin Powers and that kind of double take kind of thing.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that type of sense of humor. It was it was all the other stuff. Everything had to be relevant to that time period. Like, they talked about laying a turd looks like Winona Ryder or Kim Basinger, and I'm like, who's gonna get that? Nobody's gonna get that from over here. It's like, no.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, when you just said that, I always think of those movies as SNL spinoffs. I know they're not. You know, there's something about them that feels
it feels skitty. It feels like a skit been.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally you're onto something. I think a movie like this, especially when you've got the pedigree of the writers and the couple of main characters, is written like a series of skits. And it's like, okay, what can we do in this scene with this outhouse? Hey, how about we make the outhouse really huge inside and we have Bob Vila or a Bob Vila impersonator, because exactly. I guess Bob Vila didn't want to attach himself to this crap. We come in there and talk about
good
how to
move.
Yeah, nice move.
And then, all right, let's have a skit where they all dress up as milkmen. Let's have a skit where, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's I forgot to mention Megan Ward. She's kind of the main, I guess she's a love interest. I don't know what the hell she is.
She's a girl. She's the only girl in the movie.
Yeah.
And she was so.
Other than the bald screaming chick.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Well, and Morgan Fairchild and stuff, but she's the only one with a speaking role that continues past the first 5 minutes of the movie.
We got to do our typical, so what do you think? Cute or not?
Oh, Megan Ward?
Yeah.
Oh, I think she's really cute now. I think in this movie she was, the best word I can think of is annoying. She really annoyed me, and I don't just mean what she was given to do. There's something about her at that stage of her career.
You don't get no smelly feet vibe.
No. I think she's really cute, and she's great now. I think she's really good. I think she's coming to her own and all that. I get a stinky breath vibe from Randy Quaid, but I've always had that.
Megan Ward's my Hawaii connection for this week.
She
graduated from Kaiser High School right there in Oahu.
Nice.
I can't believe that she's older than me. Like, she's one of those people in my mind that got frozen in time as being a little younger than me. And it's actually, she's 5 years older than me, and I don't see how that's possible.
She's just a little younger than me.
Yeah, she's about a month and a half younger than me.
Yeah. So
I don't know her date, so I haven't looked it up.
She's holding up better than Nibbit is. That's all I'm saying. She looks great, though.
Before you get to this actor who I know you're going to name and you're going to throw out some facts, and I want to kind of circumvent you, Scott, because I want to ask the Bryans. So this film has Larry Bud Melman in it.
Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah. And I just want to ask the Bryans, when you think about all those great appearances by him on the original Late Night with David Letterman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Hollywood Squares, which was really relevant in this movie,
too. But going back to Late Night with David Letterman, in your mind, in your distant memories, what was his job? What did he do?
He was a random jester. Like if this was a court, he would have been the court jester, just to come out every once in a while
and
deliver
movie.
A straight line. That is funny because it's being delivered by Calvert DeForest or by Larry Bud.
Oh, nice pulling out the real name there.
I'm sorry to say I didn't know until today watching this film that he passed away a few years ago. I totally missed that.
Yeah. I remember that happening. I remember it was a big deal on Letterman anyway.
Letterman. But that's right. In my memory, when I saw him in this movie, I thought to myself, oh, there's the guy that was the showrunner on Late Night. And then I thought about it and went, no, he wasn't the showrunner. He was just some random thing.
Yeah, he'd always just come out.
Yeah.
It was basically the kind of thing that Chris Elliott used to do on David Letterman.
I was just going to say, Chris Elliott almost... it's so funny you should mention
he hosted for a while, didn't
I
he?
Felt like this movie was missing him. Like, he was at the casting call, they'd hired him, and then they just started filming. Like, where's Chris? I don't know. Like, all right, we'll just go on without him.
Like, Chris Elliott has a feud with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Right.
And he came on set and was like, what? I can't do this, and walked off.
I'm not going to be a sock puppet. That's a terrible idea. I mean, we literally saw Bobcat's face for about... 12 seconds.
Right.
In the flashback.
Because he played the sock puppet character, which was just a hand sticking out of a body. And
but he's more about the voice than the face anyway.
That's true. Except in the, I always liked him in the Police Academy spinoff or sequels. Yeah. I thought he was great in that. I like that guy. I'm not going to lie. I like the Bobcat. Yeah. It's a dumb gimmick. I mean, all he does is, but it's still funny.
And he's done that John Cusack movie too. One Crazy Summer. Semi Moore or Demi Moore.
Wait, that's the one where he's the cartoonist and draws those bunnies in all those violent situations. Oh, I love that movie growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Need to do that one.
I wonder if that would hold up. I haven't seen it since.
I guarantee it didn't. I would love to see it.
All right. By the way, there is a huge page dedicated to this movie on Wikipedia. It's enormous.
Yes, yeah.
Did you see that Entertainment Weekly, where is that? Entertainment Weekly said something about it being funnier than a month of Saturday Night Lives. Times said it was one of the funniest films in ages.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, did they get a cut of the film that we didn't get? Seriously, that bothers me that was being said then.
It actually, the reason why it was being said is because it was cutting edge at the time. It was the height of that type of humor. So to me, I was like, yeah, that's the reason why I had such a hard time with this movie. I agree. At that time, at that moment, it captured what it needed, but it did not. I mean, stand up, no.
Here's the downside of this. $12 million estimated budget. Grossed, total gross revenue.
$5.
$29,296.
Okay, that's so because it was originally going to be... Now, does that include the video sales? Because it was originally going to be released...
No, that's just box office, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, they pretty much only released it in a few theaters. Okay, so they probably not even take it. Yeah.
In 1993, the average price of a movie ticket was about $7. So that's 4,000 tickets sold.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And wow. That is just so sad.
That's like fewer people than visit a busy Walmart on a Saturday.
Yeah.
It's fewer people than listen to this show.
Maybe it was matinee everywhere, so maybe you can kick that up a little bit.
Okay, maybe. Oh. Maybe one of the, but look at this. I'm reading through this. Apparently the whole thing was based on a novel. A novel called Freaked, based on a novel by Todd Strasser. Came out, publisher is The Trumpet Club. Who the hell is that? Anyway, so I guess the skit that this is based on a book, which is based on a bad idea, which is based on Satan's very breath. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, John Kay liked it, the creator of Ren and Stimpy, if that tells you anything.
No.
Yeah, but John Kay is an asshole. And that guy... that guy needs to die, so his opinion should be reversed.
Whatever. I love me some Ren and Stimpy until they tried to make it adult.
I love it, John Kay.
Until they had him doing the pitcher and the catcher thing on Spike TV.
That was bad.
That ruined my life, man. I was just like, really? Yeah. You're going to tear my last piece of childhood out of my face?
He needed a leash. He really did. I mean, once you let John Kay go, it's like,
nice work.
Remind me to tell you a story after the show about why John Kay is an asshole.
All right. I can't wait to hear it.
I got a killer story that I don't want saved for posterity on a podcast.
Let me give you some trivia in the meantime then. Dude, what played Ernie? He left Blossom in 1990 in order to write for Late Night with Conan O'Brien in 93. He still regrets this to this day.
Leaving Blossom?
That's what I'm saying.
No, if I could only had a few more years of Blossom.
Going to work for a show that became legendary in the 90s?
Yeah, but legendary for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Right.
Like nothing about... I would much rather on my resume... I'm sorry, I hate to tell this guy, but if I'm passing a resume around, the Late Night with Conan O'Brien looks way more important than your work on Blossom. Damn Blossom as her brother. Yeah. Wasn't it her brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He really annoyed me in that thing. I thought he was fine in this, by the way. He was okay. Dumb best friend. Some of the Three Stooges connected together comedy slapstick was all right.
Little, That got
that
a
was
old,
so annoying.
It got old, but it was all right. I guess, you know, I'm saying in the sea of poo, this was a nice little gem floating in the poo. Because okay. We still don't want that gem. Say what?
I thought that was Winona Ryder.
Who? Which?
The freaking poo.
Right. Director Winter Alex claimed that Mr. T got stressed out and left the set 3 days before filming was finished. A scab Mr. T was required for one shot. This standing can be seen in one of the cage shots during the battle between the huge Stewie and Ricky. Mr. T was unavailable for redubbing for the scene with the Milkman, so Lee and Ehrenberg did the voiceover instead. And I could tell.
What in the hell was Mr. T doing that was so important? He just wasn't answering the phone. Let's face it.
I'm stressed out dressing like a girl.
I think he hated this. I'll bet he hated it.
It's really bothering me.
Everybody, might I take a moment of your time and talk about our friends at Audible.com? You hear about me talk about them some weeks, and I love audiobooks. I love Audible.com. They make it so I can listen to just about anything I want to get my hands on. They have 70,000+ titles. That includes periodicals and all kinds of stuff. Mainly, I like it for the books. And Good Omens is a book I'm going to recommend this week if you've not read it. Or heard it. It's amazing. It's Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. Terry Pratchett of Discworld fame. Neil Gaiman from everything else fame that I care about. Love their books. Love his books specifically. And Good Omens is available now on Audible.com. Read and narrated by Martin Jarvis, who is amazing in this. And it is absolutely wonderful. I cannot recommend it enough. And you should be getting it. You can get it for free, or any audiobook for that matter, on the service. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get this or any other audiobook for free right now. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Do it today. Show is also sponsored this week by our friends at usdish.com. If you are in the mode of getting some more movies into your greedy little hands and you want to be able to get a little extra money out of the deal and a bunch of free stuff, look no further than usdish.com. All you need to do is go to usdish.com/filmsack. You get a free $50 Visa gift card when you sign up with a new service. This is for FilmSack people only. Doing this one deal for all of us cool FilmSack people. You get free HD channels for life. Free Showtime for 3 months. That includes that wicked new Borgia series, which I still haven't seen, but I can't wait to. That looks awesome. Pretty excited about that. I like anything that's set in a period piece, so that's good for me. But usdish.com is good for you. That's usdish.com/filmsack. Go sign up today. Get that free $50 and all these great deals. We want to thank them for their support. That's usdish.com.
Jump back to Blossom's brother real quick, because there's something I want to get off my brain.
Yeah, Ernie.
What is the difference between him and Josh Charles, the actor who was like the brother in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was awesome in Sports Night.
Yeah, Sports Night. Yeah, The Good Wife. That guy? Mm-hmm. How do you tell the difference between him and this
it's
guy?
It's all the nose.
Sports Night. Sports Night. Sports Night. Oh, it's the Aaron Sorkin show.
Yeah, Peter Krause.
Oh, such a good show.
That was a fantastic show.
And it lasted
show,
like 5 minutes. What the hell was going on back then? That was so good. It was seriously
It was
like
the title
season.
Of the show. We've talked about this before. If they'd given that show any other title, people would have watched it. But they see it in the TV guide, and it looks like a sports news show.
A recap show. Yeah.
The thing they're making fun of. Yeah. Or not making fun of, but riffing on. The film's budget I mentioned was $12 million. Most of it went to special effects. During the sequence where Stewie is being thrown out of a newspaper office after another via the glass pane in the front door, young actor Alex Zuckman was stunt doubled by Deep Roy. So Deep Roy did
indeed. No way.
Yeah,
yes, he was.
Says
Deep Roy was severely cut during one of the leaps through the breakaway glass. And if this was 93, I'm guessing that he had to hurry and heal up so he could be that weird thing on a cart in that episode.
Flash Gordon?
No, and what's the no? I'm thinking of the show.
X-Files.
X-Files, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we talked about him a while ago. So how many Deep Roys is this? Is this three movies with him in it? Or have I got that wrong?
It may just be two, because we haven't seen the remake of Planet of the Apes yet, and we haven't seen the remake of Willy Wonka yet. So,
all right. Apparently, we haven't seen Tim Burton's basement where Deep Roy is living right now.
Apparently so, yeah.
Just created.
Yeah, yeah, where he was made.
When I think of him, I think of Big Fish. He's all over that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Another Tim Burton. Not my favorite Tim Burton movie, by the way.
I haven't seen that in forever.
Oh, I love Big Fish.
I think of the second or third Doctor Who series. He played a character called Mr. Sin.
Oh,
I don't know. No point in bringing it up because Scott refuses to watch Doctor Who.
Oh no, I'm starting.
No, we're watching episodes this week.
Yeah, we're starting them this week. We are going to.
That's a lie. Same
with Ibbot. Ibbot never watched it either. So we are starting this week. We are going to start with the Chris Eccleston crap. And move all the way forward to today. Well, no, not crap.
It's actually kind of funny when you watch the newer Doctor Who's from the beginning with Chris Eccleston. You start out not liking him, right? Like, this is not the right guy for the role. Then by the time you get to the end of his run, you love him, and all of a sudden they jump over to David Tennant, and you're like, okay, this guy sucks. And you miss Eccleston for shows and shows and shows. You just totally miss him. And then David Tennant starts to grow on you. And then you hate Chris Eccleston again. And then you start to love David Tennant. And then, of course, you realize that that's destined to not work out. And you start to wonder what in the world you're doing.
Mm. Yeah, no, that is the legacy of Doctor Who, though. Like, this is what people do with that show or that thing, is they hate the dude that comes in, then they love the dude, then a new dude comes and they get all worked up about how they're going to hate the new dude, but then they like the new dude, and it just keeps circling and circling, and then eventually Brian Ibbot and Scott Johnson sit down and watch the damn thing.
So here's the thing. Can I convince you guys to watch the first two seasons of Doctor Who, then the first season of Torchwood, and then go back and forth, Doctor Who, Torchwood, Doctor Who, Torchwood, because...
Wow.
I've seen two seasons of Torchwood, so...
Because you... I can't believe you actually enjoyed Torchwood without having seen Doctor Who.
No, I did. I quite enjoyed it. That probably means I'm going to love Doctor Who, but I really like Torchwood. I thought it was great.
Well, they're totally mingled, and there's like... You can go... There's websites that show you the best order to watch the different, you know, series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's way better if you intersperse them correctly.
My wife in particular loves Torchwood. She thinks
that I'm going to be doing it right because I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, get on to it.
Actually, a good friend of mine even recommended. It's funny because they also recommended seeing Torchwood without necessarily seeing Doctor Who. So, it's interesting to hear you say that they
the crossovers are so awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, and even if you think to yourself, I'll not watch the Torchwood, there'll be a show in Doctor Who. You'll get to this episode where all of a sudden Captain Jack Harkness is in your face, and you're going, you know what? I got to watch Torchwood too,
or Torchwood also. Is what you mean.
I mean as well. Torchwood in addition.
Okay, I'm going to pick some gems out of the pool of poo, okay? Couple of things. Stop motion, I thought, and the intro was great, and the intro credits. I love that kind of stuff. It reminded me of, it was almost like Peter Gabriel's Big Time.
Sledgehammer,
yeah.
Yes.
But then much weirder and crazier.
Mm-hmm. I loved the Butthole Surfers. I mean, their music was fantastic.
Yeah. We can't get away from Henry Rollins either.
Nope.
Yep. No, can't.
Nope, no way. No way we get away from him.
Let's just watch The Chase and get it over with.
Yeah. but that whole introduction, I'm serious, it was like Rob Zombie bumped into Peter Gabriel and said, hey, you should meet my animation guy, and then they made that. That's what that felt like to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really cool. I also got excited when I saw Randy Quaid's name because I'm a big Randy Quaid fan in his prime. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think he is a crazy potato man. But before this, I really like him. Like Cousin Eddie, all that stuff's great.
Yeah.
And his story about when he came out to Hollywood and got started, his brother wouldn't even followed in his footsteps had he not just gone totally cold turkey, no money, shirt on his back, came out here and became one of the most interesting. I mean, if you want to just watch something with Randy Quaid in it and laugh your head off, go get the Amish one where the Kingpin.
Yes.
Kingpin. Amish, where he played that Amish guy was so freaking great. I love Randy Quaid, but I don't like him in this at all. Not at all. I feel like it's just not fair to him or us.
This could have been played by any number of comedy actors at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing Randy Quaid about this character.
Yeah, other than the voice.
Other than it's him, the character is, it could be anybody.
I disagree with that. I feel like it's hard to replace Randy Quaid in that character. He did a really good job of being that character.
Well, now he owns it, so I can't even see anyone else.
Yeah, but I mean, if you do visualize like a Dan Aykroyd or even a Chevy Chase, you know, it's a character that really is not much beyond
Chevy Chase.
not much beyond, you know, this mad scientist kind of thing. There's no aspect of Randy Quaid that really comes out in the character other than it's Randy Quaid, it's his voice, it's, you know, it's
point,
his face.
Point counterpoint, Randy.
You know, Randy Quaid has this thing he does with his head and his neck that is just no one does that thing. It's almost like he's when he says something, he wants you to agree with it. So there's this sort of nod built into it. And it just, I don't know why, it just entertains me to no end. And I love the twinkle in his eyes. You know, you don't really, you know what I'm saying? Brian, do you understand what I'm saying?
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's just, I just love it. Like, when I think about the vacation movies, and a lot of people who don't like the vacation movies don't like the
ridiculous. Are crazy.
Well, but when you talk to someone who doesn't like the films, they don't like the ridiculousness. Like, it goes too far, and it tends to go too far with Randy Quaid.
Right.
And I just can't see anybody else doing that role, you know? Like,
I'll give you Cousin Eddie. I don't see anyone else as Cousin Eddie. Yeah.
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 But again, that's Quaid in his prime. This was Quaid getting ready to fly up the butt of an alien and destroy their race. You know, about a year later, that's what we'd see from him. And for me anyway, I can't speak for everybody out there, but it seems like, Kingpin came later though, didn't it?
Yeah,
it was 90s.
All right, there goes my theory. It doesn't matter. He's crazy now. We can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. But he looked like Dennis in this. The thinnest I've ever seen Randy Quaid.
Yes. Can we? All right. Are there any roles? I was trying to think about what makes this a different role. Cousin
right.
Eddie,
right.
Not a very intelligent guy. Mm-hmm. The guy in Independence Day, not a very intelligent guy. Yeah. The Amish guy in Kingpin, not a very intelligent guy. But this is a mad scientist. Does it work better for? Is am I onto something with Randy Quaid playing an intelligent guy versus an unintelligent guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you on this. Yeah, I think he's better as the foil dumb guy for sure.
I kind of like comedians doing more serious stuff. Like, I realize this is total farce, but like my example of the Randy Quaid can look like not a farce. You know, his role in Brokeback Mountain, which is very small.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, like every comedian does it. Bill Murray does it. They all do it, and I always like that. I like that a lot. So this is actually better Randy Quaid to me than Cousin Eddie. Because he is coming from a sort of I'm the smartest guy in the room perspective.
That's true. You just the argument just then becomes, is Randy Quaid a better cartoon than he is a feeling breathing character with lots of complexity? And I don't know. You could probably go one way or the other on that. But I'll put it this way, and I say it a lot on the show, but I feel like he did the best he could with the material available.
Yeah.
When you talked about the budget for the film, I was like, yeah, they spent $15 on a bottle of booze on the script.
Totally. Everything else was special effects and some by the way, speaking of special effects, go ahead.
I was just going to say one last Randy Quaid film to check out if you haven't seen it is Quick Change with Bill Murray and Gina Davis. Again, dumb character, Loomis, but I would actually, reminding myself of that one, I'd say that one for me is one of my favorite Randy Quaid performances.
Why have I not heard of Quick Change?
Not heard of Quick
Change?
Bill
Murray plays at the very beginning, plays a bank robber dressed up as a clown.
Oh, no, this is not familiar at all to me.
Oh, okay. This one has to go on the list, too.
Okay. Yeah. Is it older? Older?
Yeah, 1990.
1990, yeah.
Okay, 3 years before this. Wow.
Even older than Freaked, older than all the other movies of his. Well, not the Vacation movies, but a lot of the other movies we mentioned.
It's funny because Vacation 1 had come out so early. I'm telling you, it's one of these episodes where we talk about other shows. But anyway, Vacation 1 came out so early, and I hadn't seen a vacation movie. There's a huge period of time between a lot of my adolescent sort of, you know, puberty years when a lot of things change for you. And then I saw European, and then I saw Christmas, of course, Vacation. Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten that Cousin Eddie was even in the first one. I thought he was, for some reason, I had in my head he was a construct of Christmas Vacation only.
Oh, the Christmas Vacation, right.
Yeah, and I was dead wrong, because he's the one that says, I don't know why they call this hamburger helper, but it does just fine by itself.
So, Scott, quick Change is a movie about a bank robber who pulls off his heist, gets his booty, and then the entire city of New York conspires against him escaping town. And it's the perfect setup for Bill Murray and Gina Davis and Randy Quaid to do all of this really straight comedy. It's all straight comedy. And it's one of those films that you forget because, you know, it's Bill Murray, Gina Davis, and Randy Quaid. Like, what you can't get a great movie out of that. You just get a good movie out of that. I want to see that with you guys.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe we do.
I do too. It's not on streaming, but
is it a talky kind of movie? I don't mean talky like it has sound.
It's one of those talkies.
Yeah. It's a silent film.
Yeah, 1990.
But you know what I mean? Like, is it lots of dialogue? Is it not? Because I'm wondering, I mean, if it's a bonus sack, those are usually no good for us.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because it's all dialogue. It's all dialogue.
All right, forget it then.
Yeah.
That would be like us watching. Like, I would love to watch Groundhog Day with you guys, but it'd be the worst commentary track ever.
Yeah.
Because that's all about talking. So, anyway.
Yeah. That's also a really fine film we shouldn't bash.
No. Speaking of bashing, maybe is what I mean by this. Did anyone else notice that during the transformation of the girl and the stupid brother from Blossom getting put together, did I just see a masturbating Gumby, or was that
just
me?
Yes, you did see it a masturbating Gumby.
Was.
Yep.
Foul.
Not only that, he went ahead and did the happy ending too during the transition.
Ew, dude.
Oh,
don't
did he really?
Tell
I didn't
that.
Catch that.
Yep. He did. Because I was like, no way. And I was like, oh my gosh.
PG-13, baby.
According to the trivia, that is, there was a tribute to Harryhausen in there, as you see the head of Cyclops. Yeah.
I noticed that.
I watched that scene about four times because I was really impressed with the reactions of Bill and Randy Quaid, who were not, you know, they were just pretending to be seeing whatever was going to be put in the shot later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny. It was really funny to look at their faces
while they're watching blank space.
Yeah.
I always like watching for that. I like the Star Wars prequels are really fun for that because people are looking at nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, giant desert monster that isn't really there. All I can see is George Lucas in the back going, okay, now everybody act like there's something real big coming around the corner.
Oh.
All right. So, killed me. So there was a masturbating Gumby suite.
Indeed.
Let's see. Oh, there's a. Oh, I haven't been able to play this in a while. Hold on, I gotta play this. Now, not just because Mr. T was in it, but there was a montage in this film, and I wanted to call that out. There was a part where the farting guy was helping with the flames, and the freaking bald screaming lady was pounding nails into her hand, and it looked like they were making some good progress there in their montage, which is pretty awesome. And then I wanted to mention the kid. The makeup on the big stuff at the end with, you know, the full transformation and the little troll kid was all jacked up in a big puppet costume thing.
Yeah.
I thought that stuff looked freaking great.
Yeah, very R. Crumb inspired kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Those eyeballs sticking out like that.
I thought the sock puppet, when the sock puppet guy was walking around.
Yeah,
and his arms are flailing and stuff, and they still have the sock puppet kind of moving, although you've got to be pretty sure there's not a third hand somehow sticking up there. But that all was really done. It didn't look like, you know, shoulders up above somebody's head to make it look like.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and the worm guy looked cool, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he looked totally fantastic.
You see where the money was spent. Yeah, I mean, they did okay.
You can see where the $12,000 was spent.
I also thought the stop motion was just really cool looking, and again, I felt like there was a just a Tim Burton-esque attempt at a lot of that stuff that worked in a little places here or there, and then sort of fell flat in others. But we were talking about the worm dude earlier, or at least before the show. And Randy, you said you had something to say about either that guy or something connected to that guy or something before the show started, and you said, "I got to save this for the show." Do you remember what it was?
No idea. I'm sorry. Wow. I wonder what that was.
I don't know either. Something about the worm.
Bet it was clever.
It may have been. We'll never know. Listen for the commentary track on this episode in 20 years. All right. Let's do some sound clips, shall we? Oh, any tropes before I move on? Because I didn't.
This film is the perfect example of I can't tear it down with tropes.
Nope.
How do you like? I could. There's a kid that falls from a plane, and you see a haystack, and you're thinking, "Oh, he's gonna hit it," but he doesn't. He actually hits the ground and bounces up and walks off, and you're like, "Oh, that's a trope."
It's kind of tropey, but then it's more like, "Oh, the whole movie's an airplane trope." Okay, cool. You know, like there wasn't anything in there where you'd say, "Oh, they always do that in movies." It's like, no, they don't, and actually, they don't because it kind of sucks if you don't know what you're doing.
No, but that is a trope. There is a lot of movies out there where there's this one character who can't, like, he seems indestructible for no given reason. You know, it's just like, what in the world? How is he so immortal? He everything that hits Stewie is like just bounces off of him.
Yep,
you know,
yeah, yep.
And that's a trope. But it's in this movie, so it's not very tropey.
No. Nope. We'll give that a... Let's give that a hole in the roof.
There is a hole in the roof!
That's all you get.
Hole in your roof.
Haven't heard that one in forever. Oh,
it's been a while.
That feels good, yeah.
Feels good. Feels
like Gumby taking... Oh, never mind.
Let Django wash over me. Oh, wait, that's not Django. That's,
if you don't happen to play the my favorite quote in the film, I'm going to come back to it as a character.
All right, we'll
see that.
There's
a good trope there, but keep going.
All right, well, here we go. Here's some sound clips. Didn't get a ton of them because, again, it's not the kind of movie you get a lot of stuff from, but here's the flying gimp thing in full, not just the short version.
We repeat, the flying gimp has been destroyed. You may return to your homes.
Can someone explain to me what the flying gimp is, please?
Part of
has
the show.
Has anybody seen Idiot Box?
Yeah, has anyone seen that?
I remember seeing like an episode or two way back when, but I can't recall none of that crap.
All right, fair enough. No. Fair enough. I didn't know either, so I just thought. Yeah. Now that we know it's based on something, I'm both disappointed and curious at the same time.
That show did not last very long. I mean, it wasn't a long running series.
Well, remember those? They had a lot of those kind of quick flash in the pan shows on MTV.
Yeah, MTV had a lot of stuff. They tried a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
they still do.
Do they do that a lot? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of shows on MTV that run for 6 episodes.
Interesting. I don't really ever watch. I mean, I'm a fan of the train wreck that is Jersey Shore, so I watch that. I also watch, what else? That's it. That's all I
now,
watch.
Did you watch The Slate? I hear Slate.
Slate is awesome. Yeah. It's the Reno 911 people. It's all those guys. Mm-hmm.
Did I never convince you to watch The Hard Times of RJ Berger?
Yeah, no, I have like 4 episodes just sitting somewhere for me to watch them and I haven't done it yet. So you convinced me, but then I forgot.
Not enough. I didn't quite convince you.
You convinced me to legally find these files, of course. And then I just sat on them, so I still haven't watched it.
The first series, first season of RJ Berger was last summer. It was 12 episodes, and they started a new season about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so it got renewed. All right.
I got a trope.
Oh, wait. What do you got?
Hey, look at Ricky Corgan's awesome international looking gang.
His
entourage. Yeah.
Yeah, his entourage.
Yeah.
It was his whole gang was totally international.
Did you call it his entourage? You didn't say
entourage. Is in garage.
Is in garage.
Nowadays,
right.
Whenever you see an array of international and different gender and so forth looking people, don't you think? I don't think they would get along.
No, they would not.
I mean, who puts these people together?
People in the late 80s and 90s. That's who does. They all do. Man, that's a trope. Oh. You're right, Brian. Thank you for pulling that out.
If I saw a group of people like that, I'd be concerned. I'm like, why is there one of each? What the hell is going on?
All right. My favorite moment in the entire film captured right here.
I would like you to meet the head of our South American research facility, Senor Juan Valdez.
My name is George Ramirez.
Whatever.
So silly but funny. I don't know. I like the whole George Ramirez thing. It should have come up again. It never did.
Yeah. Every joke in this movie was told twice.
Kind of, except
except that one.
Yeah,
like the
one good one.
Executives with the hands, you know, tied to the string that the guy can.
That
pull.
That was actually pretty smart.
No, it wasn't. It was freaking terrible.
That was actually pretty smart. I like that, and that really does remind me of the other movie with Chevy Chase. What the crap was we talking about earlier with comparing?
Nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble. Oh, yeah. You know what? I contradicted myself. I've said on the show before that A Fine Mess is the worst movie I've ever seen. The one I walked out of. But I think I'll still give it to Nothing But Trouble. I'm so disappointed. I mean, it's the writer and the genius behind Ghostbusters and all these actors that I like, except Demi Moore. Right. And all in a film together. And I thought, oh, man, this is going to be amazing. And it was just a big leaky turd.
And it's the way you define a bad movie. When a movie has potential, like a great director and great actors, and is crap versus a movie like Retrograde, where it had really nothing You know, look on paper, nothing going for it. You look on paper, it's like, all right, this is going to be crap. And guess what? It kind of was crap.
Yep.
And on the whole, it's a worse movie. But the fact that the other movie had so much potential and didn't live up to it
and talent,
it makes it a worse film.
Yeah. But you don't look at paper and go, oh, Dolph Lundgren's in this. This is going to kick ass.
But right. Scott,
I'm
sorry to keep beating on this, but Scott, I'm pretty sure you've seen Battlefield Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible film. I'd still put it behind this, though.
I'm pretty sure you saw the 2004 Catwoman.
I'm not going to lie. No, Battlefield Earth, I kind of...
Brian, dude, you're coming
away from both of those.
I'm going to have to punch you in the boob when I see you. That is a terrible movie.
I kind of like watching it.
No,
not going to lie.
No, don't say
Scott,
it.
Scott, didn't you say you saw Little Nicky? That's a ridiculously bad film.
Little Nicky is pretty bad.
All right, I saw Little Nicky. That was
like, I'm just naming films from like the last 10 years.
Yeah, but Little Nicky, yeah. I would take Little Nicky over Nothing But Trouble. I would.
Oh, wow. That's really a bold statement.
I really would. Man. Yeah. Wow. By the way, I mentioned another film that can do this stuff right, this kind of thing, Spaceballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's an example of the same farcy stupidness, but done. Partially, I know part of it is, well, I'm nostalgic for Star Wars and I get all the references and all of that, but it's also lives up to the potential of the talent involved.
I'm not going to lie. I'm just irritated.
So glad.
I'm just irritated with, I hate freak show stuff and I especially hate pinheads. And I don't know. I just, they were going in swinging with a losing battle with me because I hate freak shows.
If someone else had asked me before this episode of FilmSack, one of the four of us is going to declare I hate freak show stuff. Brian Dunaway would have been last on my list.
Same.
I would have thought Brian Dunaway loves this crap.
Yeah, I would have thought so too.
Freak shows. They annoy the crap out of me.
That's because we have a stereotype of the South, and we think everyone down there is a freak show, and you all have a bunch of burnt out old,
They play it too big. It's always like fish-eyed bubble camera right in your face. And I've done this so many times during this movie, and it's like we're right in your face, and our face is distorted. And I'm like, God.
I feel the same way. I don't really like that stuff either. It's just overdone.
I like it creepy, like in the X-Files. That was freak show done right.
Yeah.
Is there something more recent that I'm thinking of that's like that?
The Jim Rose Circuit Sideshow crowd in that one. That's a traveling show, by the way. The one in the X-Files is a traveling freak show that you can go see. The Jim Rose. Yeah.
Oh, you know who else does this right? Pushing Daisies did this right.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we're talking about a type of... I think a kind of type of film.
Maybe. Is that what you're thinking?
Carnival was kind of good that way. Yeah, like you can pull this stuff off, and Tim Burton does it all the time. Sometimes he fails.
It annoys me.
What?
That's probably my least. That's probably my least favorite thing that Tim Burton does is that whole madhouse carnival circus kind of crap.
You know what? I'm with you, dude. I hate this stuff.
Pisses me off.
I don't like it either. You're right. You're totally right. But that's why I like Big Fish so much, because it's not.
Yeah.
It's not that thing. Yeah. You think it is sometimes, and then you're wrong.
I went to a freak show in Kingsville, Texas, a traveling freak show,
just
about 20 years ago, and it was $5 to walk into these trailers, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I went, like, they had all the other stuff that you would hope to see. Like, the bearded lady was amazing. She'd been rubbing hair growth ointment on her face for obviously for her whole life.
I'm glad you said that.
You know, but the reason I went in is because the picture on one of the trailers was "See the World's Smallest Whale," was of a swimming happy whale.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh my gosh, they've got an aquarium in there with a whale in it. I got to pay money to see that. I would like to know how in the world. And of course, your brain doesn't work when you're being advertised to.
Oh,
like what was I
again
thinking?
There? It's a guppy.
No, it was the corpse of a dead whale.
Oh,
and it was in a cold room, and you were on the other side of the glass, and you could see this thing, and it was just gross.
It's like a baby whale, then. Probably.
Right. It was like a dead baby whale.
Lame.
But the picture gave me this feeling that I was going to go and see this whale swimming around.
It's like the story you hear about the guy who goes in to see the, you know, the big sign on the side says man eating chicken, and then you go in and there's actually a man eating chicken.
Yeah.
What's up?
I love that.
That's great.
Love that.
I remember the last freak show I went to. it was attached to a circus. We went to a circus, which I don't go to anymore because I hate circuses too. But dude, we went. What? I hate circuses.
Oh God! Tatum,
what in the world is going on?
I'm kind of with Brian. I'm with Brian on all this so far.
And but it says,
you
it says
you still don't for like expect Brian to do this.
Yeah, I know it. So yeah. they go like, oh, for $1 more, you can come behind the come into the tent and see the freak show. So I'm like, all right, $1, I can do that. I go in. They got like magazine cutouts on the wall and like little decoupages of little. There's nothing. There's no objects at all. It's just pictures of stuff that's freaky. I'm like,
you can get that on the internet for less than $1.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Brian.
If you think about it, you pay about $1.50 a month for the internet, and that's what you're paying for.
I would play last week's. I'd buy that for $1 thing right now, but I chucked it since last week, so I don't have it anymore.
So I kicked everything down and stormed out.
I'll give you this one.
You kicked everything down. Brian Dunaway rage.
You know what this is going to do? Somebody is now going to recommend that we watch that old black and white freaks movie from the 1930s.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
The One of Us. One of Us.
One of the little. The one with the little midget people in it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, we should so do that.
Why?
Todd Browning's Freaks.
That sounds like fun to me. Brian will hate it, but that's a kind of freak I can get behind. Black and white. Well,
those are real freaks too. So maybe Brian will feel like he gets his money worth.
Yeah.
I'm bothered. It's like next week on Film Sack, Brian Dunaway says he hates to draw and comics suck.
Yep. I like it. All right. Let's play another clip. This is I like this because Brooke Shields shows she's not afraid to make fun of herself. Kind of a rip on Blue Lagoon.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
she, I, as I recall,
had the return her, to Blue Lagoon.
Had her boobies out in that movie. If I recall.
She did.
Hubba, hubba.
You know, she did naked. That was way back in the day. She was underage. You can't do that anymore.
No. Well,
you think?
Not as much as she does, but yeah, you're right. And I always thought, this is a really stupid thing about me, but I always thought the guy in Blue Lagoon, the blonde dude,
also a girl.
I always thought that he was two other characters, and I'll tell you specifically who. I thought he was Greatest American Hero. And I also thought he went on to be Kirk's son in Wrath of Khan.
That's
I thought that was
funny.
The same guy.
So if you're curly blonde headed, forget about it. You're
I really
the same
did.
Actor Scott.
Now, it's wait a minute. There was
that's racist.
I thought there was another sequel to Blue Lagoon because there was a return to Blue Lagoon, but Mila Jovovich was the Brooke Shields character in that one.
Oh, I don't know. Was she? Ooh.
I just looked it up because I wanted to see.
Yes. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that was Mila Jovovich.
But wasn't there? But there was a sequel to.
I just learned something about Randy. He can't say Jovovich.
No one can.
It's not possible to say that.
Jovovich. Her name is not pronounceable by the human. That's why she goes by Lilu Easy Pass or whatever the hell her name was.
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Multipass, yeah. Easy Pass.
We haven't talked about this on Film Sack. How old was Brooke Shields in Blue Lagoon?
She 1980, 14, 15.
She was like,
so 1980. So she would have been 15. Wow. Yeah,
she was doing those jeans commercials when she was like 13 or 12 or something. Mm-hmm. And nothing comes between my jeans except Andre Agassi or something else.
Like in just the decade that followed, it became impossible for someone to be, you know, a professional. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And an actress and be nude and under a certain age, like impossible.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, she was a child actor, but she never freaked out. And she even did this. I mean, this is like,
look, it was the 80s when all the pedophiles were jumping out everywhere. And then go ahead.
After looking around a little bit, I think we're thinking that the sequel to The Blue Lagoon was called Endless Love and it came out a year later.
Actually, not a sequel at all. Thank you.
No.
Also, turns out not so endless. all right, let's meet Scuggs, shall we? Oh, I didn't play the Blue Lagoon thing. Here she is making fun of it.
So the deal was done. I was Ricky Coogan, toxic chemical salesman. Me and my buddy Ernie hopped on the next plane for Santa Flan.
Oh, did they show a movie?
Return to the Blue Lagoon.
Oh, I heard that sucked.
All
right, now you get to meet Scuggs. So this is our first taste of Randy Quaid.
I'm Julie, and you are?
I am Elijah C. Scuggs, proud proprietor of Skunk's Fabulous Freak Land and Mutant Emporium. But you already knew that. After all, you have ventured miles away from civilization. hospitals, telephones, police. How may I help you?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you need pulleys?
Pulleys. You know, pulleys. Miles away from pulleys.
That's I don't the, that's what they,
they use. They only use levers there.
Levers. Yeah.
Huh. All right. So you're okay. So you ventured away from simple tools. Go on.
Hearing that makes me annoyed with his character again. Just don't like him. I love Randy Quaid. Don't like that. Pre-crazy potato Quaid. Let me write that down is the name of this one, and I don't remember what the I know what it is. He's talking this is my problem with the movie. These kinds of things that are supposed to be so funny that are not funny at all. So yeah. He keeps having this conversation with somebody at the company who's giving him he's feeding him this chemical, and the guy just does nothing but laugh on the phone maniacally. So he's like, wait, slow down, I need to write this down, and then the guy tells him what he said in slow motion. It's terrible.
This is horrible.
So here it is.
Well, see, that's just it. He's not quite finished. I'm gonna need some more of that Zagra 24. Could you spill that? Got it.
I'm really sorry to make everyone relive that again.
I am too.
I'm laughing more at Scott's reaction to it.
Yeah.
This is one of the first times that talking to you guys about a movie is diminishing it for me. I was not this low a level until we started talking.
we break you down.
Well, it says a lot about when, you know, our state of mind when we see certain films. And I think that given different circumstances, and I think definitely in a group environment, I think you would have liked Troll 2 better. I think I would have liked the one that you guys like so much, the Jason Goes to Hell better, I think, if I'd have been in the right frame of mind. I think that has a lot to do with it, but when we all get together, we do have this tendency to have that. We sort of settle the dirt, you know. Mm-hmm. We kind of shake it up a little bit and let it land. And sometimes it lands higher. Sometimes I walk away going, it wasn't as bad as I, you know, made it out to be. But this movie, meh.
But come on, they converted a wrench into a hammer.
Oh, now that was actually funny.
Yeah, that was actually
that was funny.
I don't think it was.
That
funny.
Was. Oh, you didn't think so?
No, really? That's a stupid idea. Because I knew what they were going to do. It's like, oh, the hammer's next. What was he before? In my brain, I was going, what was he before? Some other tool? Yep, it was a wrench before. I mean, it just seems so on the nose.
The funny part was Randy Quaid standing there with the look on his face. That was actually the punchline to me.
I thought that was funny because it's like saying in the world of tools, what would be a freak? You know, oh, a claw hammer, of course.
I think
it's funnier now that you say that, but yeah.
Yeah. See, that's why that joke worked. It's on so many different levels. It means something to everybody.
So many different levels. No, I think it's just the one. Just the one.
Just the one.
Just the one. Let's meet Ortiz the dog. This is a special cameo appearance by Speed's own Keanu Reeves. About 2 years from Speed, actually. Here it is.
You're lucky I got a strong stomach.
And you're lucky I did not bite you.
Get away from me, you. You
freak! I am Ortiz, the dog boy, leader of the freaks.
Kind of like the top dog.
Welcome to hell, freak.
Second best Keanu Reeves performance ever.
I know, sadly.
He's so bad.
It was terrible.
I can't take it. I seriously can't take it. Don't I have a thing from him? Yeah.
I want room service.
That's his other best one, right? That's number one.
I was going to lump all 30 of his other roles tied for first place.
This will be the third. This will be the third one we've done, right?
Yeah, maybe.
We did Speed. We did Giant Mnemonic. Anything
Giant
else?
Mnemonic.
Plus this.
Is that it?
Yeah, we haven't done Point Break yet.
We haven't done Lake House. Wait, what?
I like Lake House.
Lake House.
I liked it. I'm a sucker for that movie. I don't know why I liked it. I did, though.
Because of Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. She's America's sweetheart, Brian. Yeah,
you like mailboxes.
Yes. That's what I liked. All right. Here's Mr. T, and he's a woman.
When I first arrived here, I was nothing like I am now. I was confused. Walking contradiction. All right. So full of questions.
You know, you'd be better off without a dick. Hey, keep the beard.
Hallelujah. But now I know who I am. I can say to the world, hey, this is me. I am woman. And I like me.
Ugh. You're just 10 years off of B.A. Baracus, dude. Have you sunk have you sunk that low? I mean, come on.
That's why he was stressed out. It's like, oh.
That was a very stressful scene to film.
When was Rocky III? What was the year for that? Was that
I kinda needed this film to let me know that Mr. T wasn't just Mr. T, you know, like that he actually had aspirations. Maybe he couldn't have ever done anything with those aspirations.
Really,
you know,
his range really impressed you.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying he wanted to. It was nice to know that a guy like him didn't just want to wear gold chains and be, you know, an oaf.
Yeah.
These screen caps of Rocky III that I'm looking at right now, he looks insanely in shape. Like Mr. T never looked better than this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks amazing. I really like that third one, by the way. It's when it started getting ridiculous. I realized that, but it was he was something to behold in that. And this one, he started looking a little lumpy, just a little bit of brand. And apparently, it wasn't good because he left the scene or left the scene. He left the movie, didn't say nothing, didn't come back and dub his lines. Poor guy.
Is it hard to believe that this would be more stressful than, you know, filming an episode of the A-Team? like there's, you know. So much more going on here that
I really don't like a fly.
That is an entirely fair point you make right there. let's talk about some machismo, shall we? A commercial for machismo.
Oh, jeez.
I captured the whole thing.
You like cheese. You like being a man. That's why you like machismo. Real cheese for real men. Now in a handy aluminum dispenser.
Oh, that was gross on audio.
It's not even a funny joke.
Ever.
You know, right. Just like, you know, like there's no essence you can boil that down to that would have been funny to begin with as a pitch.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it made it in, Brian.
Yeah.
Somehow it made it in. All right.
That actually made me go watch the fake commercials from Tropic Thunder.
Oh, those are good.
I wanted to see Alpa Chino's booty sweats.
I wonder if we're going to hate those as much later on.
Hey, well, those are two. This is 2 weeks in a row we've seen movies with dumb fake commercials in them.
Yep.
Because RoboCop had that in spades.
Right.
And this movie had a RoboCop spoof poster.
I saw that.
Yes.
Oh, weird. Robo-Dude. I didn't see that. Where was that?
It was one of Ricky Coogan's other films called Robo Dude. It was on the wall. I can't even remember where. Oh, it was Ricky or what's his face's wall? Stewie's wall.
Yeah, Stewie's wall.
He's on the phone.
Stewie.
What's he
doing today?
Those ears, man. I really wanted those ears to be real.
Alex Zuckerman. I'm looking him up right now. Do we have a picture of this guy? Nope.
Oh, he's done plenty of stuff.
I'm trying to find. But where is he in now?
What's look like now? What do you look like now? That should be a new segment for this show.
North Hollywood High, Me and the Kid. I know none of these things. All right, some reference to Gremlins 3 that
he
I don't.
He looks kind of like Eddie Munster now.
Oh, does he? Well, yeah, he looked like. Kind of... Yeah, looked like that then. Gremlins 3 reference. I don't remember what this is, so I'll just play it.
I wonder if there's still...
Oh, this has got Fletcher, dude. I'm going to save those for later. I'm going to let him finish, but Scott Fletcher had the best video of the year. All right. Sorry about that. All right, ladies, that means it's time for... What is it time for? It's time for this right here that I got to get ready. Okay, there we go. It's time for our Film Sack Awards, and this is a chance for us to award very specific awards to fine performances and or contributions to the film known as Freaked. Best simulated animal death was that rabbit getting eaten by the toad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Very, very underused, by the way. Toad, you know, could have been, there could have been some funnier bits with him.
I think he was a better toad than the toad in X-Men, too.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
I would go along with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, to have his first few, you know, appearances be snatching a cigarette out of the guy's hand, and then to have his demise rely on the fact that his tongue travels so slowly, you can light a firecracker, throw it onto his tongue to blow him up.
Yeah, but Randy Quaid getting hit in the head with a piece of the tongue was pretty funny. Had a moment there. Best makeup, kid after transformation. Stewie, I thought that looked great.
Yeah.
Best Dennis Quaid lookalike award goes to Randy Quaid. Most egregious misuse of Mr. T, this film.
I know.
You have Mr. T.
Yeah, you could go further.
The only part I really enjoyed with him in it was his stage performance where he's talking about teasing hair. It was a very sincere delivery that I think.
Best performance by a male in a character role in his career, Keanu Reeves. Give him that, the award. Because he was amazing in this. Oscar-worthy material.
Mm-hmm.
The This Guy Tends to Make Things Better for Me award goes to William Sadler. And the soundtrack grade, I'm going to give it, I'm going to actually give it an A. I thought the soundtrack was really fun and cool.
I definitely enjoyed the soundtrack. It may have been the best part of the film.
Sadly. But yeah. Butthole Surfers and Somebody Else. Who was the other band that was kind of featured?
Henry did some stuff too, didn't he? And we said earlier.
Did he?
Well, Henry Rollins was a lead singer of the Butthole Surfers. There was another band there that, yeah, I remember seeing it in the list and thinking, oh yeah, but,
His credits, Henry Rollins, outside of his solo career, it was Butthole Surfers, and before that it was Bauhaus, not Bauhaus. Who was he with? Black Flag.
Well, he had the Black Flag, the Rollins Band.
Right, oh, Rollins Band was his biggest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. That was when he was the biggest deal. Well, when was he going, 'cause I'm a liar, that one. What's that from? That's just him by himself.
That's just him solo.
Okay.
Love that song.
All right. Sweet tattoos, everything. What? Oh, let's do the Twitter post. This is where in 140 characters or less, you three guys tell us kind of sum this film up in those many characters or less. Let's start this time with Brian Dunaway.
Freaked. Never agreed to a private shed freak show exhibit with Colonel Quaid. This movie was a really big Rodney.
Oh, man. All right. And Brian Ibbett, what do you have?
Freaked. By the way, reminding myself here, Butthole Surfers did not feature Henry Rollins. I was thinking of Black Flag before we get the emails for that.
Okay, Black Butthole Freaked was the band, right?
That's right. Yes, that's okay. Right. My
Henry's Butthole
wrestling name. Freaked, a movie that the Zucker brothers wouldn't have touched with a 10-foot pole, but would have been better if they had.
Yes, just even if they'd have poked it a little bit from 10 feet away, just poking it. Oh, that's a great way to put that. And then finally, Randy Jordan.
Freaked, a movie that sucks so bad that it hurt my liver. Actually took part of it. The upside, I wasn't using that part of my liver. That part of my liver sucked. Yeah. Keep it, you shit movie.
That's the best Twitter post I've heard Randy ever do.
I think so.
So yeah.
You win the Shit Gratifter Award.
Shit Gratifter.
Congratulations. Very nice. Well, here's what I learned while you were slobbering all over your fancy face makeup. They say that was his real slobber, by the way.
It would have to be because his mouth is pried open.
I know, it's the worst. It's like the worst dental instrument ever. Anyway, you know it's the 90s when you're doing Bob Vila jokes. That's one thing I learned. If you're going to have two sentient eyeball thugs working for you, make sure they have Jamaican accents.
We didn't mention that at all. That was terrible.
What the hell?
They were also wearing Rasta hats.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They wear those little, like, they're more like berets that are all multicolored.
And one of them was smoking a cigarette. Were their pupils supposed to be their mouths? I never could quite figure that out.
They talked out of their pupils, and then he was smoking a cigarette with his pupil for some unknown reason.
Because they love nothing but trouble that much. And then finally, I'm just glad William Sadler was around. And that's what I learned while you were slobbering all over the place. Let's move to an email. We got actually a bonus email this week. We're going to read two because this last one made me laugh. First one comes to us from John Wilson, who says, "Hey, Scott, Ryan, Brandy." What? Scott.
Brandy?
What he means is, "Hi, Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian."
Hey, you guys.
You guys missed the Star Trek connection involving Red from RoboCop. He was the president of the Federation in Search for Spock. He also played another character. I'm not sure who, though. I'm thinking it was a Klingon. Love the show.
So just want y'all to know out there, we're not looking for every Star Trek connection. We're looking for the biggest.
Yeah. And we found it. Ronnie Cox was it. Ronnie Cox.
Right.
Wasn't it?
But those are pretty good, though, that he sent in.
Yeah. No, that's not bad. That's a good catch. I'm glad he pointed him out. Yeah, good catch.
There was none for this movie, was there?
No. Oh, my. But no. I'll bet someone will find one.
Mr. T played Whoopi Goldberg's love interest in
Mr. Guinan.
Mr. Guinan.
Mr. G, let's just give me a minute. This is the part of the show where I have totally forgotten for a solid week that we do this.
Yeah.
And I just have to go through all the cast in my mind. Yeah, sometimes.
Trying to find it. I looked, but I couldn't find one. But I've been wrong before. I've definitely missed them before. So I don't know what the connection would have been. I kind of thought Randy Quaid may have done something goofy at one time. But then that always boils back down to David Ogden Stiers.
Randy Quaid seems like he should have been in some kind of Star Trek episode.
That's what I'm saying.
To the 90s.
Yeah. That thing I just said, just that, yeah, that thing.
Was so Morgan Fairchild
I'm thinking if
ever
I just
a,
repeat what Scott says.
You know, I think Randy Quaid was on Star Trek once. Well, I think Randy Quaid might have been.
You know, this part of the show is always hard because I forget about it. And
you forgot what we already said. All right, well, while Randy's looking that up, a bonus email today. Dear Scott and FilmSack crew, frankly, you guys are the shit.
Oh,
you have saved me from my multiple boring car rides and hundreds of boring days at work. Just wanted to express my gratitude as a longtime fan of FilmSack. Keep on sacking. That's from Eric Schlitting. Schickertiefter.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thanks, man. That was really nice.
You're awesome.
Frankly,
I drive so much. It sucks.
Yeah, it does. That's a lot of driving. But I'm glad he has something to keep him company.
Yeah.
It's all good. All right. So there's that. Any Star Trek connections before I play Fletcher quotes?
Yes, of course.
All right. What do you got?
What were we thinking? Deep Roy was in Star Trek 11.
Of course he was.
Oh, yeah.
He was Keenser, Scott's little buddy.
Right. Okay. There you have it.
Of course.
Deep Roy. Thanks, Deep Roy. Oh, yeah. He wore all that makeup and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this guy.
Oh, he was all short.
Is he all short?
You could eat like a bean.
He looks like he's in everything now. Like, mm-hmm. and he also seems like he has lived forever. Like, he's been in movies from so long ago.
He
doesn't look any different today. There's something weird going on with that guy.
And the tannest short person I've ever seen in my life.
Man. I'm telling you, this is like that Bugs Bunny cartoon where the turtle has a bunch of turtle friends that all look the same, and they just keep showing up and making Bugs Bunny wonder how the hell he got there before he did. That's what Deep Roy's doing.
Yeah.
Like all those Deep Roys in that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, those are other guys. There was no CGI. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cheaper to do that.
It was cheaper
to pay for short people than do CGI.
There was no mass Benjamin Button happening there. And by the way, I like that movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like it. I find it much truer to the book and much more. I like the darker take on it than I do.
Oh, let's not. You know, you love William Sadler so much. He had a actual character in Deep Space Nine.
What? Oh, he was a Klingon or a Cardassian. No,
was he a Cardassian? No.
I want to say he was a Kim Cardassian.
Yeah,
I can't keep up with the Cardassians.
No, he was the Section 31 guy. He was the guy who was after Bashir. Remember, Bashir has this misty past that has to do with.
Oh yeah, that was like near the beginning, wasn't it?
His brain being altered, so he's super intelligent.
You're right. You're right.
Hmm. Sadler was the Section 31 guy.
I'm thinking of the dude in Dirty Harry that did the. He was the Kardashian. He was the Kim Kardashian in that show. All right. Scott Fletcher, take us out with some quotes, won't you? Something about Gremlins.
I wonder if they're still casting Gremlins 3.
I don't know where that came from, but I think he kind of got the Gremlins vibe from the movie.
I wonder it too.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. What he got. Another good one.
You seem like a regular dumb old redneck to me.
And then another one. This reminds me of a scene I hated.
That's a really big shoe.
So if you're going to dump a bunch of executives at Everything Except Shoes Corporation, they're going to turn into a big gelatinous shoe.
Yeah.
Come on, Bill.
It was an excuse to, the whole thing was a skit just to be able to do the, the impersonation.
Great stop motion on that shoe. On that shoe.
Really big shoe.
Awesome.
Yeah, really big shoe. Oh, yeah, it gave him an excuse to do a, what's his name?
That's what I was just trying to, the theater that David Letterman is in.
Yeah, the Beatles and their big debut.
Carter,
right?
Think Carter.
What?
Think Carter.
Oh, I thought you said Big Pick Carter. I'm like, who's Carter?
Pick Carter.
I'm thinking, it's the Joe, I don't know.
Okay, so worst joke in the movie.
The Beatles!
That one? You going with that
one? No, I'm going with Mr. T getting a wiener or getting his wiener taken away. I didn't like that at all. I thought that none of that was funny. Bobcat Goldthwait was pretty funny, but that was it. That's all I got.
I think he was Ed Sullivan. Absolutely fantastic.
Ed Sullivan. Gosh.
I think he was absolutely fantastic. I could have watched a whole movie with Bobcat Goldthwait doing just, sock
just
character.
Just the sock face. Mm-hmm. I kind of could have too.
That would have been totally way more entertaining.
But wait, to answer Randy's question, there are so many dumb jokes. I just can't think of one that stands out at the moment as the worst.
So,
the guy on the phone recanting the laughter back for him.
Oh, yeah. God,
I think the worst joke was the main. What's the lead actress's name?
It's the one we played on each other by making us watch this. So that's
Megan Ward.
Mm-hmm. Megan Ward. I think her mom pants was the biggest and the worst joke.
Ooh, good one. Yeah, for me it was. We're introducing all the freaks, and here's a freak, and here's a freak, and here's the hideous frog man. And it's a guy in a scuba.
That was actually funny. I like
and
that.
And then he speaks French. Yep. He speaks French. Yep. It was like, you can't get any more lame than that.
The talking cowboy was pretty interesting.
You thought that was funny.
Not funny.
I hated Mr. Haney. I'm just going to tell you about the milk.
No, I'm not talking about the humor of it. I'm saying that he was convincing as half man, half cow. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was that.
Yeah. And the guys with the big nose. Lind,
I think, was the worst joke. Well, I can't think of the worst joke.
I'm underneath the Zygarde 22.
The Paul Lind thing was.
You mean the Paul Lind skeleton in the middle square?
Paul Lind skeleton, yeah.
That was really stupid.
Yeah, it was
Why
bad.
Am I laughing at it, though?
Yeah.
I think I'm laughing at that it happened. I don't know.
And then they use it to prop up the door.
I think we would enjoy this. This is one of the movies that I think we would enjoy if we had watched all together at one time and said, What the?
Brian just about did it again. Mm-hmm. People really got a kick out of that, by the way, that we went back and found it. That was interesting. Okay, there's one last quote from Scott. Here's Mr. Fletcher rounding it out.
Santa Flan, what kind of name for a country is that?
I agree. I never got the impression it was a country. I always thought it was like a part of
a
California or something.
Or something.
Yeah. Like Santa
South
Flan.
America.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
Yeah,
and they never really reference that again. Is that where the freak show was?
Well, basically, they were going down to somewhere in Columbia area, and they just.
But why?
Once again, I think this is something that I think it was a leftover from the skit shows they had done on MTV. I just really feel like it was.
What makes me sad is that Scott just asked a good question. Why were they going there? And there's an answer, because the company wanted to sell these chemicals in a place where they were meeting a lot of resistance. I'm like, wait a minute. What am I doing explaining this?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you don't want to explain it. Don't ever explain this movie. It's terrible. And also, Brooke Shields still holds up. She looks great.
Looking good.
She looked really good. But
Kim Basinger looked horrible. She's like a turd in this movie.
Well, of course, that was what? We're now talking about this film being, 93. That would have been 21 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yes, Scott. 93 was 21 years ago. Good job with your math there, buddy.
Wait, 20?
Mm-hmm. No, don't correct him.
2 years ago. 20? No, that's not right. 19 years ago.
Oh, my God.
All right, still, 19 years ago.
No, you're
18
still not
years.
Quite. Okay, there you go.
There we go.
18 years ago.
Scott, the process of elimination.
But that is a long-ass time. Like
it is.
You forget how long ago that was, and she still looks great. But my point was, what was my point? Oh, that ultimately, if you got thrown into that goo, everybody else turns into a giant goblin with the most disgusting face ever, but he pops out looking like Brooke Shields. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Tons of sense. I know you want to bring her out again at the end. I don't know. Worm Man couldn't turn back into a dude. I don't understand any of that. But this movie can just suck it. Everything about it can just suck it.
He decided not to. He decided not to eat the, what were they eating to get rid of?
The cookies, the coconut.
Macaroons. He decided not to because he liked being merged with his favorite worm.
He also doesn't like macaroons. He dropped the one mandatory F-bomb in the entire film.
He did indeed.
Yeah. Yep. Enjoyed that.
And I did love it that
this costume goes to him.
I did love it that Brooke Shields pops up with a machete at the very end. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, she'd gotten that from her boyfriend, Andre Agassi. That's about when they were married, wasn't it?
They were married for a good long time. Speaking of, this movie made me want to go watch that classic TV show, Happily Ever After, where Bobcat Goldthwait.
You're going to say Suddenly Susan.
No.
That's a classic.
Stop right there. Bobcat Goldthwait played the sentient sock puppet in the basement. Remember Mr. Floppy?
Oh, yeah. That's
right.
Oh, wow.
And that show also had Nikki Cox, who is now married to Jay Moore, And there's a good reason to watch a show.
Mm. Yeah.
Nikki
yeah.
Cox. I don't. I can't think of what she looks like. She cute?
Yes, you can.
Is she yeah, yeah.
brown hair?
Oh, no. She's all. She's got like crazy face. Her lips. Yes.
But Scott, you're not. You, no. You don't watch Nikki Cox. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, but look at her lips.
Is this the IMDb picture?
These are not real. No, I did an image search on Google, which I know is dangerous, but I'm just saying. She looks.
Especially for looking for Nikki Cox.
Oh, her yeah. lips, dude.
That is Danger Ross.
Oh, foul.
Yeah, but back in the 90s, she was incredible. And
she was back in the day before this happened.
Yeah, before money and then injections.
That show was really funny.
Weird. Mm. All right.
And then, of course, you know, you also got to watch Greg the Bunny.
Oh, I love Greg the Bunny. I hate that got canceled so long. People are going, what? Greg the Who?
Oh,
really? No, that's got to be on Hulu or on Netflix.
I don't think it's on either.
It's not.
Yeah, I don't think it's on either right now, which is too bad because that deserves to be there. It's great. It's classic. All right, well, there you go. That's it for the show. And if you want to send us your emails, you can. That email address is filmsack@gmail.com. Go to the website, filmsack.com. We're on Facebook. I always forget to mention that. Facebook. Facebook.com/FilmSack. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/FilmSack. Review us on iTunes. We'd love that as well. And now I realize we don't have a new movie listed here. What is our movie for next week? Anyone know off the top of their head?
Next week, Scott will be watching... Wait for it.
Hold on.
Wait for it.
We're all racing.
Oh, found
Jason
it.
Jason X. Jason X. That's what Kick I'm a, looking dude. Forward to.
Oh, nice.
Kick A. Yeah. Oh, that's the one in space, everyone.
That's right.
Oh. Yep. Our second Jason movie.
Dude, Jason X, Every Which Way But Loose, They Live. Yep. This is a great month of film sex.
Tango and Cash.
Yep.
Action Jackson after that. Ghostbusters 2 with dude what was in Ally McBeal. That's coming.
Oh, man, this is great.
Yeah, so we got some stuff. Next week, Jason X. I feel like we'll have a real uptick in quality of film next week when we watch Jason kill space people.
Yeah, it's sad. It's true, but yeah.
So we'll see how that holds up. Can't wait to bring it to you. In the meantime, everyone have a wonderful week. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time.
I've got to make sure to not... I gotta make sure to not watch Jason Triple X.
This crappy movie.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.